Oh no! There he goes again. Going to pound us on our giving. Preacher, don't you understand that I have bills to pay? Don't you understand my car needs work? Don't you understand that, you know, I'm so far in debt that I simply can't give? Oh, been there, done that. Let me ask you this. Have you ever stolen anything? I bet everybody here is shaking their head, no, I've never stole anything. Well, as a Christian, let's hope not. But if you did, let's just say that perhaps you did. How did it make you feel afterwards? After you had that possession that didn't belong to you in your grasp and in your home or wherever, how did it make you feel? Did you glory in it? Did you fret about it? Did you think maybe that you ought to return it? Can you imagine stealing from God? Brother Mike read just a few moments ago, Malachi chapter 3, and I want to look at them again. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. You know, I believe God is angry here. All right? They've upset him. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have I robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with the curse, for you have robbed me. Brothers and sisters, I don't want to stand up on the day of judgment and be accused of robbing God. And I'm not simply talking monetarily. Even this whole nation, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Brothers and sisters, you cannot outgive God. I don't care how hard you try. You cannot outgive God. You know, it's hard to give away what was hard earned. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard to give up the things that's taken us time and investment to earn and then simply give it away. That's why this lesson, I believe and I hope, is intended to help us develop a spiritual discipline of giving. And to do this, I would like for us to examine 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, the first thing I want us to notice is that we should abound in giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. And Paul's talking about giving. Abound in this grace also. You know, there's many spiritual disciplines that we work at, isn't there? But is one of them giving? We work on our knowledge of God's Word. We work on our faith. We work on our understanding. We work on our love. We work on our concern for our brothers and sisters. But do we work on our giving? And again, this is not simply monetarily. It's giving of our time, giving of ourselves. How many husbands or wives would be happy with one another if we didn't try to develop the relationship? We just wanted to push money to it. I don't know, maybe some wives would be happy getting all the money. Maybe some men would be happy. But it's not going to be a very nice happiness. There are many spiritual disciplines that we work at. And the question is one of them giving? Like anything, anything that you want to do and do well, you just can't dabble in it if you're wanting to find joy in what you're doing. You can't dabble in spirituality. You can't dabble in living a Christian life. You can't dabble in trying to live by God's word. It takes dedication. It takes effort. Sometimes it takes a lot of tears. And we can't just simply dabble in our giving. The Greek word that is translated abound in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7 means to go over and above or to go beyond what is expected. How many of you have ever went beyond what was expected of you to do in any fashion of your or any aspect of your life? What about your daily job? I know there a lot of everybody here is retired, but think back. When you went to work every day, did you go above and beyond what was required at that job? You know, as a Christian, we simply must go beyond and above what the world would do. Should not the world see in us things that are different than they see in themselves? Shouldn't they not see the love and the concern and the compassion that we have for one another? Should they not see our love and our compassion and our zeal for God? We must go beyond what is expected. Token giving is not what the Lord wants. Secondly, we can read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 8 and 9. Giving is a test. Yep, I said that word. Giving is a test of our love. Notice what Paul writes. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet he became, but yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Giving is a good way to measure your love for God. There it is. Giving is a good measure for our love for God. Look at the extent that Jesus loved. Paul says here that he gave up his riches. What riches did Jesus have? While he was on this earth, he had no place to lay his head. But think about heaven. What did he give up? He gave up his home in heaven. And ultimately, he gave up his life. He proved his love for the Father by being obedient even until death. He proved his love for us by dying for our sins. Now, because of what Jesus himself done for us, is it not our turn to demonstrate our love for him? Our giving, we should abound in giving. Giving is a test of our love. And then we can see in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 10 through 12, giving involves more than intent. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 10 through 12. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, but who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year. Now therefore, perform the doing of it, in other words, carry it out, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, you know what that means, don't you? Putting forth an effort. Be willing. Be willing to go above and beyond. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Now, brothers and sisters, Paul is not saying here that we can extravagantly buy things and then not have money to give. That's not what he's talking about. What it here says, it's not according to what we don't have, it's according to what we do have. Too many times people will do things and say, well, now I don't have the money to give, so here's a few little dollars. Or, you know, I'm so busy with the things that I want to do, I don't have time. God wants more than good intentions. But too many times, that's about all we give him, isn't it? We give him good intentions. He wants us to put our good intentions into action. Doesn't he? When we get our paychecks, what do? Do we make out our budget for that week or that month? What do we put down first? What do we subtract from the balance in our checkbook for that month? What do we subtract first? Is it our giving to the Lord? Or is it that new pair of shoes or the new dress or the new suit or a new stereo for your car? You know, back years ago when I managed a finance company down in Indianapolis, it was a finance company for vehicles, especially high-risk loans. And you would have these people come in and they would purchase a car and have simply maybe a reasonable payment, and they made the payment by how they got paid, weekly, biweekly, monthly, however. But then within a month or 2 months, maybe 3 months down the road, They can't make their payments because they went out and they spent $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 to put big rims and tires on that car. And then it gets repossessed and they can't figure out why. So let's turn it over, you know, spiritually. When our intention is to give to God, but yet we find ourselves in want, in need, because we have overextended. We bought the new rims and tires. What do you think God is going to say about us? What did Malachi say? Hey, you've robbed me. You haven't paid to, you know, my house what is due. And they couldn't figure it out. What do you mean we've robbed you? God, we ain't robbed you. How many times do we rob God? Again, not simply monetarily, but in our lives. God wants us to put our good intentions into action. Fourthly, and really that's the last one I have, but there's many more, but these are the four that I wanted to bring out this morning. Number four, giving should be proportional to what we have. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 13 through 15. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened. God does not expect us to give more than we are able to give. Okay? But by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want. You know, God does not want us to go into debt to give. Now, there may be a time, I know that in the building of this building at one time, the men of the congregation here went into debt to get the building built. But the idea is an equality, that the rich and those that are not so rich and even those who are poor can be equal in their giving. All right? Again, for I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. When we each look into our own selves, we must determine on what we're giving. And those who are more wealthy, their giving should be proportionate to their wealth. And those who are not so wealthy should give proportionately to their wealth. And those who are poor should give. Jesus set the example, or he tells us about it. Take your Bibles, open up to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. Most of you know this passage by heart. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And boy, they loved doing that, didn't they? So everybody could see and understand and hear how much money that they gave. Verse 2, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. I believe, and I could be wrong, but I think it's something like two pennies. Let's just take it as two pennies. She was very poor. And she cast in these two mites, these two pennies. And he said, of such a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. All of them. What do you mean, Jesus? These people, they put in maybe hundreds of dollars. And you're saying that this poor little widow lady is putting in two pennies, put in more than what we did? You're insulting us. But notice what he says, verse 4. For all these have of their abundance cast in more than they all. Verse 4. For all these have of their abundance cast into their offerings of God, but she of her penury, her poverty, hath cast in all the living that she had. Now, I'm not advocating that if you have no food in your house, that you should take your grocery money and throw it in the collection plate. The first problem is you didn't come to the church and say, "Hook, I need help with some food." That was the first problem. We are only to give what we are able to give. This is why it's called the discipline of giving. It's something that we do continually. Now, I understand that a lot of people here get paid once a month and they contribute once a month. That's fine. That's dandy. There's others that place in their contribution every week. That's fine. That's dandy. But is it consistent? If you've made the same amount of money this week that you made last week, then you should be putting in the same thing that you put in last week, because the money that you've made has not changed. Yep, there he goes again. Pounding us about our giving. The issue is, if we fail to give to God, what's God going to say to us on the day of judgment? Again, you might find this sermon kind of challenging, and if you do, well, it was meant to be. It's not easy to give. But when we realize it is a way God tests our love for Him, who among us wouldn't want to excel in our giving? So I want to close with this question. When you get a raise, whether it's by paycheck, Social Security, whatever, when you get a raise, which raises your standard of living or your standard of giving? Which raises? I'll leave it right there for you this morning. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It should be, we love God so much that we're willing to give exceedingly, abundantly, over and above, not only monetarily, but in our lives as Christians. If you've not obeyed the gospel, then maybe this is not touching you at all. But on the day of judgment, you will have to answer if you've been a good and faithful servant or not. If you're here, again, not a Christian, we can remedy that situation through baptism, having your sins washed away, to rise up and to walk in newness of life, having your sins forgiven. If that's your desire this morning, would you come? Or if you're here and already a child of God, but perhaps see in your life that you need the prayers of the saints for whatever the reason. It doesn't necessarily have to be because of sin. It's simply many times we need prayers of our brothers and sisters for strength, for encouragement, and so forth. Would you come also as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
Who at the door is standing?